Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 7, I want to pick up reading in verse number 11 of Luke chapter number 7. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, or the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up. I mean, as soon as I read that, I thought about Ray Stevens saying, "I ain't a setting up with the dead no more." I don't know about you. But the Bible said that he sat up. Now watch this. The Bible said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that we get a clear understanding from thy word. I pray, God, that you give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech, Father. Lord, tonight I want to say thank you, God, for 15 wonderful years here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And God, thank you that I'm able to stand one more time and preach your word at this church. God, thank you for what you're doing in it. Father, I stand amazed at how good you are and the way that you're blessing us, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight to lift you up high and mighty through the message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. The next three messages that we're going to look at in this series will be dealing with the three different times in the Bible that Jesus raises someone from the dead. Now, I know that there's other instances, but there's three different times that Jesus raises somebody from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but out of all the miracles recorded in the life of Christ, these three stand out more to me than any. And here's the reason why. These people were dead. They was dead. They was graveyard dead. They was not asleep. They had not fainted. They had not passed out. They was dead. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty amazing that Jesus could raise somebody from the dead. So I find these miracles very interesting. Now, think about this. These three miracles include the raising of the widow's son here in our text, the raising of Jairus' daughter, and also the raising of Lazarus. It is interesting to note that each of these three recorded miracles of raising the dead reports the dead person in a different stage of death from what the other miracles do. Jairus' daughter, for instance, was still in the bed where she had died when Christ raised her to life. The widow's son was in a coffin on his way to the graveyard when Christ raised him to life. Lazarus was already in the graveyard, and you'll find this out, that he had been there 4 days when Jesus raised him from the dead. So when you think about that, before the resurrection occurred, Jairus' daughter had not been dead but a few hours. The son of the widow had been dead long enough to have been placed in a coffin and then being carried to the gate of the city. And Lazarus had been dead now for 4 days when Jesus raises him to life. It did not matter, however, where the dead were or how long they had been dead. Christ could still raise them. Listen to this. The same is true spiritually. Christ can save any sinner, no matter how young, how long a sinner, or how great a sinner. Christ can still bring them back to spiritual life. I don't know about you, friend, but that sure does excite me to think about that tonight. When we come to this passage, there are two large crowds here in Luke 7, verse 11 through verse 18. Think about this by way of introduction. The first crowd was following Christ. Look what the Bible said in verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. There was a large crowd that day that was following the Lord Jesus Christ from Capernaum, which was 18 to 20 miles away. Keep that in your mind. You're going to want to remember that here in a little while. That was 18 to 20 miles away, that has followed him now to the gates or to the city of Nain. Now, the second large crowd is found in verse number 12. Look what your Bible said. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. Much people of the city was with her. There's a couple of things that we can think about right here. We can say it this way. Evidently, this widow lady and this young man was very respected in the city. Why? Because there was a large crowd that was with them. Now, I understand that they was the hired mourners. Whenever you study manners and customs out, they was those that was playing the music. But the Bible says there was a large crowd that was following them that day. They was showing sympathy to this lady in everything that she has been through. I want you to think about this tonight. These two crowds represent the two groups of people in the world today. One group is following life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other group is following death or following a coffin. We will find one group in the places of righteousness where Christ is, where Christ is, while we will find the other group in the dens of iniquity of this world, places where moral and spiritual death is. Every person is following either life or they're following death. And we see the application made right here out of Luke chapter number 7. Now, think about this. I don't know of any other person that has, now you may, but I don't know of any other person that has ever dared to interrupt a funeral. You ever thought about that? You ever been at a funeral? You ever been, several of us here has toted a coffin to the graveside before? Have you ever been toting a coffin across the yard of a graveyard and all of a sudden somebody shows up and says, "Everybody just hold on a minute, I got something I need to say." I've never thought about that, and I've never saw that happen. But can I tell you something right here in Luke chapter number 7? The funeral procession, and can I tell you something? It's interrupted. It's interrupted. It's interrupted. No doubt there was probably some that day. There was probably some that day that knew who Jesus was. Maybe somebody in the crowd hollered out, "Hey, that's Jesus right there." Maybe there was some that didn't know who he was, but Jesus interrupts the funeral that day. And this miracle, there is no believing person, and from what I can see and read, there is no plea for help. Nowhere in this passage, and this is the only passage, Luke is the only one that records this miracle. Nowhere do I see that the mother has prayed and sent for Jesus. We know with Jairus' daughter, Jairus goes to find him. We know with Lazarus, they send for him and he shows up. But you want to see something right here? Nowhere do I find that anybody calls out for Jesus. Nowhere do I find does anybody ask somebody to go get Jesus. But there was a God, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. There was a God in his sovereign nature knew that 20 miles down the road, a day's journey, there was a family that needed a miracle in their life. And right on time, like he is every time, he showed up. He showed up. So let's look at the miracle of Jesus raising this widow's son from the dead. Number one, tonight I see a dead man. That's deep, isn't it? I see a dead man. Look what your Bible said in verse number 12. A dead man carried out. You know what that means? That means he's dead. Can I just tell you something? If you ever get me in a coffin, I'll be dead. I've seen people in coffins to scare people, and they've lost their mind. I am not getting in a coffin unless I'm dead or somebody's knocked me over the head, knocked me out, and put me in one. I will not go in it willingly. Are you with me tonight? He's in a coffin. He's a dead man. I've seen people and a herd of people that would get in the morgue, Brother Tim, just to scare somebody. Years ago when I worked at the hospital in security, we was the ones that took care of the morgue. And can I tell you something? I had no interest in going down there and sitting around and eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and shooting the bull. There was not a place that I liked to be at. Are you hearing me? Why? Because they're dead. You say, dead people won't hurt you. No, but they'll make you hurt yourself. If you don't believe me, you see me after service, and I can tell you some stories. There's a lot of y'all in here in the medical field, and you know that after they pass away, they let that last breath of air out. And you be putting them on a gurney in the morgue, and they go, yeah, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Brother Matthew, it'll make you say, surely got a Honda and go out the door. There is a dead man. We have not been told the cause of death. We don't know exactly if he had been sick for a while. We don't know if it's because of an accident. We don't know if he was riding a camel and the camel went wild and threw him off and he hit his head over a rock and died. I don't know. All I know is he's dead. He's a dead man. And can I say something tonight? As we think about this dead man, there's a widowed mother had passed this way before. But when her husband died, she became increasingly devoted to her only son, no doubt about it. She knows what it's like. So when we think about this, here is a young man whose life had been filled with great potential. He might have had hopes of marriage and fathering children, but now he is dead. There may have been plans of going into business to support himself and his widowed mother, but now he is dead. Those eyes which had been bright with the gleam of youth are now dulled by death. That mind that had hoped and dreamed was now steeled by the cold embrace of death. The voice that had laughed and cried has now been silenced forever. Forever death has come, and it has brought with it all the crudeness and the heartaches that comes along with death. I thought about this. The first time we learn about death is in Genesis chapter number 2. In verse number 17. And here's what the Lord said. You can take of all the trees that you want to take up, but this one tree you can't, because when you do, the day you do that, you will surely die. And you know what happens in Genesis chapter number 3? That's exactly what happens. They believe the serpent. They end up taking of the tree. And you know what they done? They died that day. Their soul began to die and their body began to die that day. And because of that, now death is passed upon on all men. The Bible said this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he what? Quickened, made alive is what that means. Who were dead in trespassings of sin. Oh, you and I was in the same shape one day because of the sin of this world. We was dead men walking around. I not only see a dead man, number two, tonight. I see a distracted mourner. I see a distracted mourner. Look in verse number 12 again. The Bible said this, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. I see a distracted mourner here in verse number 12 in the beginning of verse 13. Here's a woman who has already felt the icy hand of death as it took her husband from her life. The only thing remaining from her marriage are a few memories and the only son that her and her husband had ever brought into this world. Now her precious son has been taken away by death as well. A distracted mourner. You know what? The first thing that I thought about whenever I read this, I thought about, why hadn't somebody called for Jesus? Why didn't she send for Jesus? Why hadn't somebody tried to get a hold of Jesus and get Jesus? Can I tell you something? She was a distracted mourner. How many times has trouble hit our life and we find ourselves distracted by the storm that we are in? She is a distracted mourner. Here is a mother where tears blinded her eyes and sorrows devastated her soul. She had no faith and she had no knowledge of what was soon to take place. Her son was dead. The outlook was completely bleak, but Christ was coming toward the gateway. I thought about this. Here's what one said. I read this and I really liked it. It said, this poor woman has no one left to care for her in her old age. In that day, there was no welfare or assistance available to the widows like her. It was up to the woman's children, especially her sons, to see that she was cared for in her declining years. But she has no one left. She is all alone, helpless and caught up in the desperate condition. She has nothing to look forward to except poverty and despair. She is at the mercy of the other people's kindness. She has nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. She finds herself trapped in a helpless condition. I can see what she may have been. I can see what she may have been distracted by the circumstances around her. And you know what we'll do in our life sometimes? The storm will begin to rage. Heartaches will begin to come. Hear me and hear me well right here. We'll begin to lose focus of God. We'll begin to lose focus of what Christ has done for us. Amen. Peter even talks about us forgetting where he brought us from. We'll begin to lose focus on that and we'll become distracted because of the things that are around us. Why is she distracted? Because there's a dead man. Because there's a dead man. Before we criticize her, let's take a minute and try to walk a mile in her sandals. Let's take a minute and try to sit at her house when, I don't know if she was there when he died. I don't know if somebody come and knocked on her door and done a death notification. I don't know how she found out. I don't know if she was with him. I don't know if a chariot pulled by, three donkeys run up. I don't know. I don't know. But all I know is this, her baby's dead. The Bible says, and we'll see it in just a minute, the Bible talks about him being a young man. Now her young son is called out into eternity, and she has a distracted mind because of a dead man. Number three tonight, we're moving quickly. I not only see a dead man and a distracted mourner, but I see this. Look at verse number 13. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her. I don't know about anybody else, but I really like that right there. And said unto her, weep not. I see a dead man. I see a distracted mourner. But can I say this tonight? I see a discerning master. I see a discerning master. Many times, my dad has said this to me when I've talked to him about different situations. He said, son, you better be able to discern the Holy Spirit on that. You know what he's saying? You better be real sensitive to God on that. Better be real sensitive. He said, before you say anything, you better make sure you can discern the Holy Ghost on that. You make sure you got clarity on that. Can I say this to you tonight? I see a discerning master. I see a master that sees past time, present time, future time, all at the same time. A discerning master. Whenever you read this, you'll find out that Jesus is coming from Capernaum to Nain. Whenever you begin to look at that, it would be around 18 to 20 miles. You'll find out that 18 to 20 miles, it is said, in manners and customs, that 20 miles was considered a day's journey. You got to think about it. They didn't get in a nice vehicle and drive down the road. No, they walked the biggest part of the time. They walked. And 20 miles, I don't know about you. 20 miles probably take me and Brother Matt about 4 days instead of one day. It was considered a day's journey. You also find out in studying that the climate condition of Palestine made it imperative that the bodies be buried soon after death took place. There was not embalming in those days and things of that nature. So can I say this to you? When the individual died, you know what they did? They buried them. It was imperative, Brother Dakota, that they done that. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus, being a discerning master, being a day's journey away, he evidently knew that down there at Nain was a little lady, that her husband, I'm getting to where I want to get to preaching now, that her husband had already died. No doubt about it, Jesus knew that down there was a little widow lady that was still mourning the death of her husband. Sure, she had never got over that. Jesus knew that her son was a young man, and Jesus knew that her son was going to die. So personally, I believe that it is quite possible that before her son ever died, that Jesus being a day's journey away, knew in his mind, even though nobody had prayed to him to help this situation. Oh, yeah, and even though nobody had sent word to him and said that he was dead or that he was sick or that he had been involved in an accident, Jesus being a God man in his deity, Jesus knew that there was a little widow lady that had lost everything that she had and that needed him at her side.
So you know what Jesus did? Jesus began a journey to a dead man. Well, amen, I'm seeing things I've not even studied, and a distracted mourner. Why? Because they was fixing to be an interaction with the Master and a mourning crowd. Can I say something to you tonight? Is there anybody else in the house that's thankful that you years ago, matter of fact, 2,000 years ago, a discerning master looked down through the scope of time and saw a dead person. That was you and that was me, and came to where we was at. We didn't ask him to. We didn't pray for him to. Oh, but before the foundation of the world was ever laid, there was a discerning master. Began a journey to where you and I was at. Oh, there was a discerning master that day. See, he knew what was going on. He knew what was happening. He knew, oh yes, he knew the anguish that they was going through. He knew the pain that they were suffering. And what did he do? He commenced on a journey to go to where they was at when they hadn't even asked for him, when they hadn't even prayed for him, when they hadn't even sent nobody to him. I sure am thankful. I sure am thankful tonight in the sovereignty and the discerning ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about this. If Christ could see her even when she was out of sight, and Christ could know her need even when he was not with her, how much more does Christ see us when we think he's out of sight? And how much more does Christ know our needs before they ever come? I see this. I see a dead man. I see a distracted mourner. I see a discerning master. But can I show you this in closing tonight? I see a delightful meeting. I see a delightful meeting. You see, she's fixing to have a meeting like she ain't never had before. She's fixing to run head on into the Master. A delightful meeting. Yeah, listen to this. It was all over. And everybody was gasping. Jesus had ruined the funeral. Let me just say that again. It was all over, and everybody is gasping. Jesus had ruined the funeral. The hired musicians might never be paid for a job fully completed. People were beginning to run toward the gate, for already, even from yards away, they could see the corpse setting upon the bier or the coffin. The funeral bandages must be removed. Jesus probably superintended that task. Then gracefully, he extended a hand to lift the youth to his feet. When all had been accomplished, the Lord turned toward the mother and with indescribable charm gave the son back into the arms of his mother. What a reunion. What? I'm talking about a delightful meeting. Here was that delightful meeting. The sovereign Lord spoke peace to a suffering lady. The sovereign Lord spoke peace to a suffering lady. What did the Bible say? He had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. She had not invited Jesus, yet he came anyway. He traveled 18 to 20 miles to get from Capernaum to Nain so he could work in her need. He came to her at a very moment she needed him the most. She wasn't even looking for him, but he showed up anyway. She might not have even known about Jesus, but he knew about her. He did all of this just for her. You know what I think about? I think about one word when I think about that. And it's the word grace. He did all of that just for her. What grace? What grace? There was a day that you really didn't even know who Jesus was. You wasn't interested in Jesus. You was at a place in your life that you probably didn't even care about Jesus. Some of you sitting here. But you know what He did? In His mercy and in His grace, He came to where you... She didn't go to where He was at. She didn't even know where He was at. She probably... There's a really good possibility. She didn't even know who He was when He walked up. Oh, but He knew where she was. He knew who she was. He knew what she needed. And thank God He showed up right on time and met her need. He spoke peace to a suffering lady. But can I say this to you in closing? The sovereign Lord spoke life to a slain lad. Look what He said in verse number 14. He talks to his mom, the child's mama first, says, "Weep not." She's probably thinking whenever he said that, "Well, who are you telling me not to weep?" Let me just give you some good advice. If you go to the funeral home tomorrow, And somebody's son's in the coffin, don't walk up to the mom and say, "You don't need to be crying." That's what Jesus did, though. He said, "Weep not." Probably in her mind, she, who are you telling me not to weep? But watch this. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." What about that? Now verse 15, "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Oh yeah, the sovereign Lord spoke peace, but the sovereign Lord spoke life to a slain son that day. Here's what I found out in studying, that it was not uncommon for somebody dead in that day to sit up, because there was not embalming fluids. It was not uncommon. And some of you know this, and I'm not going to go into great details about it, but some of you know this. The human body is like any other creature. You ever cut a snake's head off, and what does that snake do? It continues to move. It's the muscles flitching in the body. Human body's the same way. I'm not glad that I've been around a lot of people when they died, but I have been. And they'll still flinch every once in a while. They'll still move. And they said in that day it was not uncommon. And I've even heard old timers from the past say that it was not uncommon to see somebody set up. Now I'm going to tell you something. If I'm doing a funeral and somebody sets up, there's probably going to be another funeral. So him setting up was just common. But then he spoke. But then he spoke. I wonder what he said. "What in the devil all y'all doing standing around here crying? What's everybody gathered around for?" I wonder if he didn't say something like this. Master. I wonder if he didn't bow, Brother Heath, immediately and begin to give thanks to Christ. Here's what I thought about. Come start playing, Miss Daniel. There's one thing I do know, and you're probably going to hear more on this. There's one thing for sure. Don't you take this title and build a message and preach it. There's one thing for sure. He lived to tell about it. He lived to tell about it. Can you imagine? Oh, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall that day. Can you imagine? He goes walking back down through the streets of Nain. Somebody goes, "Billy? Billy, is that you? Oh yeah, it's me. Hoss, you was in a coffin, headed to the graveyard." "Yeah, I was. But before you go anywhere, Let me tell you about something.
Oh, yeah.
I once was dead, but now I'm alive. There was a man that met us out there at the gates of the city. Son, they had done dug the grave, and they's fixing to throw my carcass in it. But there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth that came by where I was at. Didn't nobody ask him to. He just showed up. And he looked up in that coffin and said, "Young man, arise." And I got out of that coffin. How'd you get out of it? He helped me. You know what he said? He helped me. Can I just say it this way? Can I just say, I'm done. And we're going home to eat eggs and french fries. But can I just say it this way? There was a day that you was in the same shape. Son, you was headed down the wrong road. A lot of people done wrote you off. A lot of people done put you, Brother Matthew, as good as dead, and in a coffin headed to the cemetery. But there was a Sunday morning at Amazing Grace Baptist Church that the good God of glory sent His Son right by your pew and said, "Boy, arise and live." Aren't you glad for the day that God came to where we was at and rescued us out of our ruined condition? And now we get to live to tell about it.
Amen.
We get to live
to
tell about it. There's some in here tonight that can say this: "Preacher, I was in bad shape. I was just practically an alcoholic. The things of this world had drugged me down. I was definitely headed down a path to a coffin. But there was a day." There's some that can say this: "Preacher, I was 6-7 years old. But there was a day that the Master came by and said, arise. I was 16. I was a good old boy. I was just mischievous every once in a while. I'm telling you, I had never drunk. I've never been drunk. I've never done dope. I'm just being honest with you. The world's eyes, I was a good old boy. But you know what? I was in a coffin headed to the graveyard. But I sure am glad that there was a day, amen, that a discerning Master showed up at youth camp and changed my life. And now I can live to tell about it." Can you just imagine? He goes into the barber shop. Claude says, that's the barber of that day. He was the head barber of Nain. Claude says, as a man that gave me my first haircut, by the way, his name was Claude Love, Roaring River, North Carolina. Claude says, Billy, last time I cut your hair, you was dead. I wouldn't want to do that as a barber or a beautician. But I cut your hair so you'd look good in your coffin. Billy, what did I miss? Well, you know what, Claude? I sure am glad you asked me. Pull up a chair, let me tell you a story. Y'all ain't getting what I'm getting out of this. He goes down to the chariot sale lot. Going to buy him a new chariot. Old Dakota salesman walks out. Says, "Billy, I heard you was dead." "Oh, I was." "What do you mean you was?" "There's this man, have you heard about him? They call him Jesus of Nazareth. They was taking me to the graveyard, man. He showed up." He was a young man. Maybe he went back to Nain High School. And tries out for soccer. And the coach comes out and says, Billy, what are you doing here?" "Well, I want to play soccer. Isn't that the reason we're here for tryouts today?" "But Billy, Last I heard about you, matter of fact, Billy, I standing down there when they come through with your body, and I stopped and paid my respects because that's what they did in that day. And that, matter of fact, people pulling over on the side of the road, you can trace that all the way back to here. They was respectful. I stopped and took my hat off and watched your mama go by crying saying, "My baby boy is dead." What in the world has happened? I tell you what, Coach, would it be all right if you just get the rest of the team together? If you'll get the rest of the team together and bring them over here, maybe the other boys gather around and they're like, "He's supposed to be dead. He's a ghost. Well, what's Billy doing here?" Billy says, "Boys, I'll not keep you long." He lived to tell about it. "Boys, I'll not keep you long. Don't keep looking at me so funny. It's really me. I'm not going to get you." And about three of them jumps and runs right then. I mean, just think about it. Think about it. What if somebody you played ball with that died showed back up at practice? I mean, they're dead. They're taking them to the graveyard. They showed back up at practice. And they went like, "Man, I'd run out the door. I'd ninja chop. A regular can of skull, no says I." Are you with me? I'd go redneck ninja on somebody. And he says, "Boys, let me just have 5 minutes of your time to tell you what happened." Man, I can't wait till I get to heaven. And I meet old Billy right here. I don't know if that's his name, but that's what I've named him. And I meet old Billy and I say, this is after we've sat around the throne for about 2 million years praising God for his glory on us and his grace and his mercy. "Billy, tell me about that day. I want to meet his mama. Hey, Mom, tell me about it. I bet, could you imagine?" You know how everybody brings food. They get back to the house. They 27 women down there from Nain working around the house. They got chicken pie. They got broccoli casserole. They got squash casserole. They got tater casserole. They got ketchup casserole. They got mustard casserole. I mean, you ever want to know any kind of casserole? Funerals are a casserole get together. Are you with me? And they get back down there, and Mama comes walking back in. Whoa! Hallelujah. Thank God. Bless his holy name. Well, thank you, Jesus. And one of them long-tongued Jezebels turns around and looks at her and says, "What in the world have you got to thank Jesus for in the midst of all this trouble?" And about that time, Billy walks to the door and says, "Look up in here, baby. Right here's the reason why she's got something to praise God for." And Mama cuts loose to shout, "He lived to tell about it."